don't need a man who's got it made. Always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah. They don't want them a good man.
So funny having that theme song. It puts me in the mood for the podcast as soon as I hear
totally.
It. I just immediately am ready to go for the podcast after that starts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If
It's a great.
I ever hear that someday in the radio, I'll just start having a podcast right away. So,
absolutely.
Brandon.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome to our show.
Our first guest today is my wife driving the car. Oh, well, we should have.
Good morning.
I'd like to have more women on someday, but they'll never come.
You want to what?
Anyway, good morning.
Good morning. What did you just say?
I said I'd like to have the girls on someday, but it's never going to happen. My wife.
Oh, come on. Never say never.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe if we convince them both at once, who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
I've had good feedback that the podcast is back, though. I've had a lot of people.
Awesome.
It's back.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty cool when you have a bit of a. I thought after I've got them, like, I think this is episode 17 or 18. And I wonder, because we had a hiatus, if I should have put like season two, episode one, instead of.
Oh, I see. I see.
Maybe we'll start season two, like at the first of the year or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because we started it this year.
Right.
Right. So, okay. Yeah, that would make sense if we have.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but if we keep going, maybe start new seasons at the first of every year or something like that. So
it's a work in progress.
It definitely is a work in progress. I hope it's progressing. That's my.
I do too.
So you had a decent week?
So far, so good. So far, so good. Once, you know, it's still one day at a time. Lots of stuff going on, but I don't know. Life is kind of like one day at a time, and I'm okay with that. You know, it's like you go to sleep at night, you wake up in the morning, and you just start new.
Well, I'm going to
tell
you something that's everybody's life.
It should be. I mean, you know, I think it's important to kind of like.
Or it isn't. If you're in prison or if you're a billionaire, you wake up and.
Yeah, we've talked about it. Don't dwell on the past. Whatever happened yesterday, it's gone, and today's a new day for a fresh start. And so, you know, it's always nice when we do start our Wednesday morning with a podcast. I think it's you know, it's energizing, it's invigorating. We set out to offer advice and help, and you know, sometimes it's kind of just our own story and our own opinion, but, you know, whatever we can put out there, maybe it sheds some new light on something for someone, offers a little personal insight based on our experiences, then that's what we're going for here, right? We're not experts by any means, but we're just living life one day at a time here, right?
We're experts at being Chris and Sean anyway. We're good
that's
at
it. That's it. And we're all unique, right? So we all bring our own perspective.
Right. And I think that's what all entertainment or news or whatever is. It's someone's opinion. You take it. You hope to get something out of it. You know, you don't have to agree with it all. Hopefully you enjoy listening to people talk. I've had people say they enjoy listening to us talk. So I think that's great. As far as me personally, it's great to talk about things. But I think the thing about a podcast is it forces me, not that I need forced to, but it makes me sit down every morning on Wednesday and talk to you about something for an hour, which we normally wouldn't do. But
absolutely.
I would like to do that even without a podcast, because it does help me to have a friend to talk to just about what's going on in life. And this makes that happen, right? So
absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, it's just great to connect. And you and I, thankfully, have a special connection that we've developed over the years. And, you know, we talked about doing a podcast, talked about it. Eventually, we just like, I'm, you know, the first one, I did it in my truck.
How about right now?
We got to go. And so yeah, it's been a great work in progress for
Break that
sure.
seal, right? We just had to. Anyway, we've talked about this before, but I've said it. Talking about something isn't doing it. Planning on something isn't doing it. Only doing it is doing it. So,
No one's interested in something you didn't do.
exactly. You said it. My cousin said it.
Why it tragically hit. Yeah.
A great idea, man, but I not so much implementing. So,
Absolutely.
implementing. I put the wrong syllable, the wrong emphasis on the
Absolutely.
wrong syllable there. So I thought I came up with this earlier this week for many reasons.
Yeah.
One was, we've had a couple serious podcasts, which is what we do a lot of that anyway. It's kind of the theme of our show, but I wanted to talk about something maybe a little more enlightening, maybe a little something more positive, not completely. So I
Yeah.
thought, of course I was thinking about it because I lost my beautiful girl Ava, my dog, last week, and she's been on my mind. So I thought this morning we'd talk about pets and
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean,
how we relate to pets, maybe the history of pets, what pets do for a lot of people. There's so much to talk about. Oh, I think it'll be a good episode.
I think I mean, most people have had pets. Most people have had experience with pets. Most people have had pets, maybe a loss of a pet. I think that's pretty normal. And a bond with an animal. There's a lot of things that certainly, pets can bring a lot of joy and happiness. They can bring responsibility. There's a lot of things that can come from owning a pet. So yeah, it's a good topic. I think there's a lot to it for sure.
Lot to dig into.
Yeah.
You have a picture of your beautiful pet deer you had, that was what John Jimmy there. I remember you owned.
Couple of deer, yeah. Buck and oh, I was gonna say buck and doe, but that doesn't work because they're both bucks. But
I think those are both bucks. I'm not sure,
and they weren't really pets. They just showed
but
up and there they are in the mist. Yeah.
and I know Pico's somewhere in the room with you, or.
Is here, yeah. I don't know. Do I my I didn't make my bed this morning, which is usually
That's
a thing
okay.
to do.
There's Pico.
She's a wonderful cat.
Absolutely. Great.
Yeah, there's well, yeah, we'll touch on that in a second, but yeah, cats
Okay. It's going to be a little different this morning. You always give us a definition. I think I know what a pet is. It's the
I have a definition.
criteria.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
A pet is a domestic or tamed animal kept for companionship or pleasure.
Well, yeah,
Yeah.
that's it.
Yeah.
That's succinct and well put. For
It is. Yeah. It's pretty simple and straightforward, but
it's funny they put those as two different things, companionship or pleasure. So I know it can be both, but I guess some people just need a companion, and maybe some are is more for pleasure. It depends on what you need from your pet.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, they do invariably become companions and they are a source of pleasure.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
there's no question about it. And I did dig into the history a little bit.
Cool. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Like actually dogs, by all accounts, originally were gray wolves.
I think
So
all were wolves, right? Originally?
15,000 years or so ago, perhaps longer, they became domesticated. Yeah, they basically have evolved from gray wolves.
That number you just gave is, I didn't really do a lot of research, but I did look up quickly how long pets have been around. And
Yeah.
it said 16,000 years in Europe and 14,000 years in Asia. So your 15,000 years is right in the middle of those two numbers. So I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, there's talk there was some conversation about how even like Neanderthal man and they d started to domesticate wolves as well. So it could in fact be even earlier. But I think that the difference there is that although they were companions, they were mostly utilitarian in the sense that they used them for protection and hunting as well.
Absolutely.
Right.
I know how long a period of time this is, but you imagine a little tiny toy chihuahua was
Yeah.
originally a gray wolf.
I know. Yeah.
Imagine the amount of breeding and and work it took to get the all these different breeds of animal of dogs. It's
Pretty
crazy.
incredible. Yeah, and the numbers, like the sheer numbers of animals is like it's staggering. 900 million dogs worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah. 600 million cats.
Holy shit, there's 40 million people in Canada.
Yeah.
900 million dogs in the world.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there's a there, you know, I mean, I could have spent hours drilling into this, but there's also, of course, a lot of feral dogs and cats that just are like living on the streets.
Right.
In the US alone, 20% of cats and dogs are homeless. So there's 35 million cats in the US alone that are just feral, that are just like on their own.
35 million cats.
Yeah, so almost as much as the population of Canada.
That is, I never dreamt it would be that kind of number. I never dreamt.
6 million dogs in the US that are just feral, that are living in the woods and on the streets and the, you know, in the cities. And
Well, there used to be, in movies and that, you used to hear these wild dog packs. I'm not sure if that was Australia or if it was here, but there was literally packs of wild dogs,
yeah.
running almost like packs of wolves, you know? That's wild.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I can't believe the numbers you're saying.
They're significant.
I think the dog one, I mean, cats is a big number, but you know, you see a lot of cats around, you know, stray cats, barn cats, wild cats, but that many dogs, 20 million,
I know. I
great.
know. Cats, you get, I get. Like you go to like the Caribbean and different places, and there's often like you, and I don't know, like it seems to me like cats, they don't eat as much. They don't need as much. They can find scraps. Like you can see how they can kind of survive. They're pretty
Yeah,
independent.
they hide up in the rafters. They do.
Whereas dogs, it's like, you know, it's hard to imagine that they're surviving kind of on their own, but I guess they obviously do. And I, you know, it's kind of sad to hear that. I mean, as a species, as you know, as Homo sapiens, as human beings, we have, you know, we have this you know, this kind of almost destructive element where we domesticate things. We're like, okay, yeah, let's domesticate this, domesticate. And of course, the domestication of animals started also 10,000 years ago or so, not just dogs and cats, but we started to domesticate sheep and goats and all these kind of wild animals for our own benefit because we realized we could get wool and milk and all these different things. But we, you know, we tend to, as the dominant species, we're like, okay, well, we can use this. Let's domesticate it. We can put this in a cage. Let's do this, you know. And then the fallout of that is there are so many of them that
Right.
they're just kind of running rampant all over the place,
That's
right?
a
And
good
so.
point. Yeah, absolutely. And I think with dogs, we used to have such a special connection to dogs. You know, there's a lot of people always talk about in movies, like you can, you know, 100 guys can get shot, no one cares, kill one dog, and everyone's like crying out and sad and won't go, you know, won't go see the movie. And it's
The
just the
help it's the helplessness of an animal, of course, right? And that, you know, that's the kind of the sad sort of destructive side of this conversation in a way. Like, you know, domestication also comes with dog fighting. You know, we all know, you know, if anybody's a football fan out there, we all know what happened to Michael Vick and all this whole, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, that whole that and that species, the pit bull, actually is one of the, is I think one of the number one species in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because they were, again, they were trained for defense and they were trained for all these different things. And yeah, like there's of course images over centuries now of, you know, kings with big Great Pyrenees dogs and all these kind of and wolf hounds that hunted wolves and all these hunting dogs and all these things. You know, so there's kind of just this, there's these, you know, really interesting images of domesticated dogs over the centuries too, right?
Dalmatians on fire trucks, you know,
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
and I think what happens is because we see like I remember when the 101 Dalmatians movie came out, everybody wanted a Dalmatian dog, but Dalmatians are not good pets. They just don't domesticate well. They're beautiful, fun animals, but they're not really made to be pets. And I think that happens in a lot of cases. You know, for some reason or another, a pet get a certain breed gets really popular, and they're not. You should really look into what kind of dog you're getting, because
No question.
word dog is a very broad term. There's a lot of different characteristics.
Thankfully, there's a lot more information these days about breeds, about what their requirements are. You know, nobody should go out and get an Australian Shepherd if they live in a condominium.
Exactly.
They're herding dogs. They spend their days chasing sheep. Like, understanding that and knowing what the needs are is a really important thing. And to me, this is a good segue into, you know, what I think is really what is a really important thing about having a pet is you know, for a lot of people, it's a real precursor to maybe even having a child. Like, if
Yes.
you're thinking about having a child, it's a great idea to have a pet first, okay? Because, yeah, you have to raise it from a puppy. You have to potty train it. You have to, it craps on your rug and you have to clean it up and you have to take care of it and then you have to train it. And, you know, these are the things where people are really enthusiastic. Oh, I just want a cuddly puppy. But yeah, it's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
And they're probably going to be in your life for 10 to 15 years and you have to train them. And, you know, we all see dogs that are yapping and barking away and oh no, don't worry, he won't bite. And then he bites your hand and you're like, next thing, there's a lawsuit. There's a thing, there's this, there's, you know, unless you take the time when they're young to train them to stick to it, to be kind of diligent in that, a lot of shit can go wrong.
Yes, and has gone wrong over the, you know, people have
And
had to,
then,
and a lot of dogs get left behind for different reasons. I know during COVID, like you couldn't get a dog, and everyone had a dog, everyone had a dog. And then after COVID, nobody wanted those dogs anymore. They all gave them back. They didn't want them.
And you know, that was a time where people were incredibly lonely, and we talk about having a companion. There's something wonderful about a dog or a cat. You know, I think when I thought about it over the last couple of days, I mean, the thing about a pet is that it's the unconditional love.
Yep.
They can't talk back. They don't complain particularly. I mean, you can tell when they're unhappy, when you're not treating them well, and you know it's your responsibility to take care of them. But, you know, there's something really, really soothing about a cat purring. It's like a really, it soothes your heart. Like,
It does.
because you pet it. It starts to purr and you're like, oh, I know that what I'm doing is making it feel good. And that's like, that makes me feel good. It's like give and take. You're like, it's happy, it's purring, it loves me, I love it. And then there's a wonderful bond that's created in that. And it's a very simple thing, but it is still, it's a 10 to 15 year to 20 year commitment to take care of it. And,
It's
you
worth
know,
it. You have to make that commitment. You have to. That those pets need you. They need fed. They need water. They need walk. They need, like I said, they need vet visits. They need their shots. They need to
there's
be.
money too, of course. Like, we're not even mentioning that. It's not cheap to have a cat, to have a pet for 15 years. Like, I mean, vet bills and food and whatever else, that's easily a $10,000 to $15,000 commitment, right? You're like, nobody thinks, oh, they just like, oh, I want a puppy. Oh, do you have, like, do you know that it's going to take 15 years and it's going to cost you $15,000 to $20,000? You know, I'm estimating.
If things go
Yeah,
well, the
things go well. Who knows?
young people today, my kids both did it. When they got their dogs, they bought pet insurance. And I think pet insurance, like that's crazy.
Yeah.
Pet, it's paid off for them already. Like, I mean, it's amazing for those big events, you know,
Absolutely.
events that in the past you probably would have had to put your animal down, you know, because you wouldn't be able to afford to get it better. But now you have insurance and they can. So it's a wonderful thing. You know, I like it. I like it.
Yeah. And people have to make difficult choices in that, right? Your dog maybe gets hit by a car and it needs $5,000 of surgery. And, you know, that's not something anyone's planning for. But, you know, to at least know that those things can occur, and to then also just realize that just as our lives are, it's a ticking time bomb. We're all gonna die. Your pet will die, and you're there right now, and it's incredibly difficult. You spend all this time with the dog, and you talked about it just before we came on. You have so many associations that happen in your daily life that once the pet is gone, it's like there's a void where you're like so used to that routine that all of a sudden that routine is broken, and that's heartbreaking. There's no doubt about it.
Takes a piece of you. I told both of my kids when they bought dogs, I was happy they were doing it. I said it was a great idea. I know they're responsible, but I said, just know you are buying yourself eventual heartbreak. It's no way around it. You are gonna have your heart broken. And we've been talking about it around here for a while now that we knew the heartbreak was coming. And my wife was Shonda was saying, like, I'm not gonna be able to take this, Sean. I'm not gonna be able to take it. And she has not taken it well. She was right. It's been devastating, but so I was thinking, we are such good at, I love how the fact we're so good at talking to each other that we can ramble and talk for an hour and not really talk about what, but do you want to talk about maybe some different kinds of pets and animals and dogs in general? Do you want to do a timeline of some of our own pets over the years and what they've meant to us? How do you like to do it? Or do you like to just say,
Well, I mean, I've said it. We've done 17 episodes. I pretty much do this every single time, where I could easily go chronologically through the life of my pets. I can do mine. I can do mine. I think, we had dogs when I was a kid. My dad was he was a lab guy. He loved labs and retrievers. We had labs and retrievers when I was young. Golden labs and retrievers. I have a
on the dog.
picture. I have a picture on, on my mantle, because I like to look at various stages of my life. The one, I'm like 3 years old, and we have our first dog. His name was Fella.
Fella. Hey,
Very
fella.
British. Very British. And we had Jim. We left Fella in England when we moved. We gave
Oh.
my parents gave him to another family, and then we got Jim, and he was also he was a golden lab, and we had him for a number of years. But we moved to California. We lived on a lake, and we used to throw the ball into the water. They're big fetch animals. They like to one day we threw the ball into the water, and to the other side of, like, we lived, it was a man-made lake, so it had like fingers where the subdivisions were built on it. And we threw the ball in, he swam out to get it, and instead of turning back to our side of the little inlet, he swam to the other side and he took off. And we're like, oh, okay, well, we'll go over and, we'll get him. And we went over, and he wasn't around, and we put signs up, we did the whole thing. And months later, we basically gave up. And I think it was maybe a year later, my mom was out for a walk, and she saw him, and he was living with another family. Like, they had basically adopted him.
Wow.
And I think my mom was just like, well, he's been there a year. And so we like she just was like, okay, well, he's their dog now.
Just let it go.
Weird. Yeah.
It was probably the nice thing to do for Jim. I mean, if Jim is having a good life, I mean, to
Yeah.
destroy it again, but
Yeah.
I wonder
Weird.
why he wanted a new family so bad. He just.
No idea. I have no idea. I don't know if I want to know.
No, he
He
probably just got discombobulated and got lost, and then, took him a while to readjust it. Isn't that funny? Wow.
And interestingly, before that, I don't know why, but my dad decided he wanted to get rabbits. So we had three rabbits, and we lived in Connecticut. So before we moved to California, and I don't know how, but Jim got into the rabbit cage and like literally tore the rabbits apart. So, like, really traumatic. Like, we came out in the morning and there was like three bloodied rabbits in the yard. Jim's all covered in blood, and you're just like, oh my God. Like, but
Wow.
it's like it's natural instinct. And
Dog eat
so
the dog.
the other thing that we had when I was a few years later, we had budgies.
Yeah, I had one budgie as a kid.
Very, very British thing, I think.
Fifi was mine.
My dad had them when he was a kid, and I always found that one a little difficult. Like, I would look at a bird in a cage, and I would think, man, that must just be like, it's just like being in prison. I mean, I know a lot of people have birds. Most of the time, I think you let them out and they can fly around. But unfortunately, I feel like his name was Peter. And he got out, and we had a lot of windows in our house, flew into the window and broke his neck, and that was it. That was the end of Peter. So
Wow, poor
some
Peter.
heartbreak. some heartbreak in there. But we had dogs, for a long time when I was a kid. Eventually, we got some cats. So when we moved to Canada, we had a few cats. In the meantime, we had a Saint Bernard, which is a Saint Bernard cross, but my mom's Swiss, so we had a Saint Bernard, wonderful dog named Brandy, of course, Brandy, because they had the thing, the collar with the Brandy for, to rescue people in the Swiss mountains.
Yeah.
Because that's what you need. You need Brandy. Like if you're really in trouble, just get me some Brandy.
Absolutely.
I'll be good. Right?
I always picture that with the barrel with the XXX on it.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, talk about trauma. Like, we're talking about, unfortunately, the death of Ava. We got my dad dog, a chocolate lab, a puppy for his birthday. And I guess it was his 40th. So his birthday is in April. We had Bella. The dog's name was Bella. So not Fella, but Bella, and Bella means beautiful in Italian. It was a fitting name. So beautiful, such a cute dog. So we'd had her for a few months. We had a company picnic. My dad, was working in this company, and he was the president at the time. So we had a big property. So we had a big party at our place during the day, and it was great. 40, 50 people, everybody. And the dog was in the house because it was still a puppy, but eventually dad brought the dog out, kind of meet the people and everything. And it was running around, having fun, and all of a sudden it was gone. And so, kind of a frantic search ensued. And unfortunately, and I found the dog, it got hit by a car. Oh, buddy. Got hit by a car on the road in front of our house. It was dead. I told my dad, he came out. The party was over. Of course, instantly, like it was about 5, 6 o'clock. It was kind of early on. Surely the party was going to go on longer, but it was over. Everyone left. And my dad says to me, "Well, we have to bury the dog." So we had a property, and I'll describe the scene, but we had a property, and in the back there was a field, and in the field there was a circle of pine trees, and in the middle there was an opening. And he's like, "That's where we're going to bury the dog." And so we go out there, we have the wheelbarrow, and we start digging the hole, and it starts to rain. I mean, it was right out of a movie scene. We're digging the hole, it's raining, and all of a sudden my dad starts crying.
Bet.
I've never seen my dad cry. So I'm 15, he's 40. I've never seen my dad cry. He's crying. We drop the dog in the hole, we're throwing the dirt on, it starts thundering and lightning. It was just like it was horrible. It's one of those moments that probably flashes before your eyes when you go. It's just like this moment, like, oh my God. But
Wow.
this is the reality. I mean, things happen. People die, animals die, and it is heartbreaking. But I guess, in a lot of ways, it was a moment where my dad and I think became closer.
Yeah.
An opportunity for me to see him as a vulnerable man, that he did get upset, he did cry. Like I was like in shock. I was like, oh my God, is he crying? Like it was hard to see your dad cry for the first time. That's hard.
Yeah, your dad was a tough, stoic guy, right? So.
100%, 100%. It was a moment, of course, sad moment, but also a learning moment, and one I would never forget. And since then, I've had more cats. Like cats, to me, they're easier for sure. Of course, they're more independent. I'm not a big fan of picking up dog shit, so there's always that. But I would have a dog, but I've never really had the property. Like I always felt like if I had a good sized property, I would happily have a dog. I love dogs, don't get me wrong. I do. They're great pets, they're great companions. They're just that kind of, when they look at you and they're like, "Oh, please pet me or feed me." They just have this real vulnerability about them that's really like wonderful and beautiful. And it's like you feel good, you take care of them. And
Yeah.
cats, they're easy. And so we've had a lot of cats over the years, and I've lost cats for sure. But I think that was the most significant kind of moment for me. Most of my cats have had great lives and lived long, and so I've been grateful for that. And kind of when they passed, it was like, okay, well, I miss them and I love them, but I think there's a probably a bit more of an attachment to a dog somehow than there is a cat. I mean, I don't know why I think that, because I love the cats, but I don't know. Maybe you can add some insight. But that's kind of my summary.
Yeah, dogs have been dog, pets have been a big part of my life. When I was born, we had a dog named Lady, a little border collie, and everyone loved her. And a lot of people say that mutts make the best dogs. And I don't know if that's true or not, but they tend to make very good dogs a lot of the time. Dog, like, it would get dropped off if my grandparents were babysitting. The dog came with us. She loved to beat my grandparents. Everyone loved her. I have great memories of that dog. But I was very small, so I remember when it wasn't there anymore, but I don't remember really what happened. I think it just got old and I put it down. And then we had a little cocker spaniel. We bought these sisters. My aunt bought us one and we bought one. It wasn't a great dog. I don't know what happened to it. It had some health problems, and I don't have a lot of good memories of that dog. It peed everywhere, it barked a lot. It really wasn't our style of dog. My aunt kept hers, which was named Brandy, actually. Ours was Lady again. I guess we had no imagination. Lady didn't last all that long. And then you, it's funny you mentioned it. And then my dad got onto Great Pyrenees. So we had this just showroom, I mean, show dog looking Great Pyrenees. Her name was Sheba. And she was
They're impressive dogs, right?
massive, massive. They have the second strongest bite of any dog after pit bull. They're very smart, very loving, but they're also mountain dogs. They need space, they need room. And dad figured out pretty quickly, I think we were moving, but he just thought Sheba, this isn't a good enough spot for her. We had a smaller place. And he gave her to a farm. And we went to visit Sheba years later, and Sheba remembered dad, but she was having a great life on this farm. So it was the right move. And then dad bought another one, a boy named Char. We'd always had girl dogs for whatever reasons, but he bought another one named Char. Char was a nice dog, but then he got hot spots. And when they took him to the vet, they shaved him too close and hurt him. And he kind of got mean after that. He bit a couple people. I remember one day a Sears guy was dropping off a package, and we used to be at the old screen doors. And the guy went, opened the door and went, "Sears," and the dog was standing there and latched onto his arm and wouldn't let go. And he hollered until someone came and got that dog off his arm. Probably would have been a lawsuit today, but anyway. And then I remember the same dog at the cottage one day was on a chain, and our neighbor came over to look at something we were selling, and we all thought the same thing: is that chain long enough? And the dog came over and grabbed, his name was Craig. I was 10, grabbed Craig by the ass and wouldn't let go. It was bad. So that was the end of Char. He just wasn't good. But we had adventures. I remember that dog getting loose down at the cottage and dad chasing it for miles. And I remember Ch Char got loose one time when dad was away in the middle of a blizzard, and I had to go find him, and he would drag me back home. I mean, it was just crazy, that dog. But anyway, we had a lot of experiences with that dog. At the same time, we always had a cat. We had a cat named Tramp. We lived in Truro, Nova Scotia, and Tramp was always getting in fights with other cats. The neighbors all loved Tramp. So you'd go next door, and Tramp would be inside of my neighbor Helen's house getting milk, and she was like the neighborhood cat. And then we moved to Moncton with Tramp, and Tramp got hit by a car out on the highway. Like, it was just didn't know his surroundings as well. Didn't go well. And then dad bought a miniature collie, a little Sheltie, a little beautiful little girl named Chelsea. And Chelsea was a great dog. She liked to yap a little bit. And then we bought a cat named Sam. But Sam was my sister's cat, and Sam was a mean cat. She'd only like my sister, And back then, we used to declaw our cats. I know that's frowned upon now, but we used to do it. We kept them in the house and didn't want them ruining the furniture or scratching people, right? I know I understand it's mean now, but it was a different time. And I remember, even though Sam had no claws, he got outside one day underneath the steps, and Dad had to go try to get him out from those steps. I'll never forget the scene when Dad came. Dad had blood running. His whole arm was shredded, just shredded with cat bites, and he had iodine on it. It was just a massacre, right? Like, it was awful. And I'm going fast through these, but then we went through another period. So we lost Chelsea, she died. Then we moved out to the country. And my wife was just my girlfriend at the time. She worked at a jewelry store beside a pet store. And she came home one day and said, "They have little Sheltie puppies in there. We should buy one for your dad for Christmas." So we bought Dad a little miniature Sheltie puppy, named her Charlotte. She was beautiful, beautiful. Dad was moved to tears. But then Dad, we'd also had, before we moved out there, we had a couple dogs we got at the SPCA. They were sisters. They were little border collie mutts named Ace and Lacey. And then Dad bought another Great Pyrenees named Harley. They were registered, so her name was Harlequinade. That was her real name, so we called her Harley because we were in a Harleys. I'll never forget me and my buddy Dennis. Dad was away, of course, and he said, "The dog's coming into Fredericton, which is 2 hours away. Can you go get it?" So me and Dennis drive up to Fredericton. I'll never forget, we go to the counter and say, "We're here to pick up our puppy." And they're like, "We don't have a puppy here." I said, "Well, there's supposed to be a puppy here." I said, "What's his name?" I said, "Harlequinade." They go, "Oh, well, it's 44 pounds. Are you sure it's a puppy?" And I said, "Yeah." It was a 44-pound puppy. Her paws were the size of my hand. She was covered in shit from the plane ride, like she'd shit in the pen. So we put a sheet down, and my buddy Dennis sat there holding her, and the dog was licking him and loving him. And we drove home, and she was gorgeous, gorgeous, and grew into a gorgeous dog. Loved my wife. She used to put her paws up on Shonda's shoulders and was eye to eye with her, like she was a big dog. But so these dogs lived out in the country. We had 18 acres. But my dad, he loved his dogs. But now I think back about, I don't know about the responsibility. He would let them roam the yard with them, but they weren't trained to stay home. And you watch Harley, and she would literally, like, if she figured out she was far enough away from Dad to get away, she ran. And he'd be like, "Harley," she'd take off, but she was the leader, and the other three dogs would follow her. Hear them. They'd be gone for hours. You could hear them out in the woods barking, or you hear them just causing havoc. They would come back exhausted. The other half of the time, they'd come back full of porcupine quills. I one time was a home alone. One day, Harley came back, and there was five porcupine feet. So it was more than one porcupine. They had shredded. Harley, I had to take Harley to the vet. She had 500 quills in her, down her throat, in her eyes. Like, it was just about killing her. And I remember Dad battling with that dog, trying to get the quills out of her. But I mean, thinking back, I don't mean to pick on my old man, but he should have been a little more responsible with those dogs. Like, they shouldn't have been allowed to just run roughshod and get in that much trouble. Funny thing freaked me out, because Charlotte was the little Sheltie, and she was a sweetheart. And I remember coming home one day, and there was a dead wild rabbit in the driveway, and Charlotte was covered in blood, and she, little one, killed this rat. We used to call her BK after that, bunny killer. Like, she, it was like, what? But so then Dad put a fence up, and we had a gate across the driveway. So when you came home, you had to stop, open the gate, drive through, close the gate. We didn't have a power gate, and the dogs would run up to the gate waiting for you, and Charlotte would just bark, row, row, just never stop. And one day I was there, and the gate was frozen, and she wouldn't stop barking. And I'm like, "I'm gonna kill you when I get through this gate if you don't stop barking, man. Like, I'm gonna friggin' kill you." But it was an adventure out there, and I could tell a million more stories, but eventually those dogs, passed. And I moved out, of course, and then Dad had a couple huskies. Sasha and Nev. Huskies are a lot of dog. Very independent, though. Like, nice dogs, but they're not really pets. They weren't overly loving. Like, they were kind of, but they did their own thing. They didn't really, they'd say, "Oh," they'd walk out and see you, like, "Oh, you're here," but
They're work. I mean, they're working dogs, really. Like they're designed to like pull sleighs, and that.
absolutely had no interest in us. Then I started my own pets. So we bought a border collie, of course, named Dallas, And Dallas was such a good girl. Oh, she was a good girl. She was well trained. Everyone loved her. She had this thing when she'd play, she loved to play fetch. Her tongue would come out of her mouth. It would grow to about 4 times the size of a normal tongue. It was the wildest thing. It was like, what is going on with that girl's tongue? It was huge. But she would play fetch, but she stayed home. The kids loved her. She was a great companion. She was loving. She was just a great girl. I can't think of anything bad to say about her. She passed. She got sick on a Monday and she died on a Saturday. I didn't have to put her down. She died in the hospital and her pancreas failed, and it was sad. And we, after about a year, I didn't think I could handle it again. But my son and his girlfriend said, we saw these border collies, and Shonda said no, but anyway, we got a border collie, and that was Ava. And Ava was just, she looked like a little gun, the little gun, like stuffed animal. She was so loving, and everybody loved her. Everyone got to know her. She was just the sweetheart of the neighborhood and her family. When I was going through my addiction and I was being a terrible husband and a terrible father, like Shonda spent many days crying and by herself, and Ava stayed with her and was her constant companion, and just got her through a lot. And then when I had my strokes and my operations and I had to sit home for a year and was sick, and Ava stayed with me and got me through it, and she was just our constant companion. She couldn't have been a better dog. We loved her. You got to know her. I was happy about that. But then, her legs started going on her. She was a big girl. I probably fed her too much treats, but and her legs had been gone bad for a while. And then they, last week, they kind of snapped, and that was the first time I had to personally decide to put a dog down, which I hope I never have to do again. I got no more tears left. I've cried so much this week. We miss her. It's pretty raw, which is why I wanted to talk about pets today. We loved her so much. She was our life. And last week I had to go away. And, it was the first time Shonda had ever been in the house her whole adult life without a person or a dog. First time she'd been alone. And it was weird. She felt, not to mention all of these animals, dogs are like guard dogs. Like you count them to bark if something's going on and protect you. And all of a sudden you don't have them. So she's left a hole in our life that I don't know how it's going to be filled. We don't think we want another pet. I probably, if it was just me, would have another one. But Shonda, she lives here too. We'll see. I don't think I can handle the heartbreak again. Yeah, I loved her. Shonda picked up her ashes last night. We've got an urn, engraved urn coming. We bought. And I bought these little dog tags that have Ava's picture on them, and you put ashes inside them. I'm going to carry her around with me, which I know sounds goofy, but I loved her. I want to keep her with me. And the last two animals I want to talk about, and then we can talk about something else in the same field. But I had these two cats growing up when I was a teenager. Names were Cats and Jammer, because they used to. You'll remember the old cartoon, the Cats and Jammer Kids? We took that name, Cats and Jammer, which was one name, and split it in two so that we had Cats and we had Jammer. One was a calico, one was black and white. They were sisters. One didn't make a noise, didn't never meow in her life. Most she would do was go, eep. She had no voice. The other one had 7 toes on each paw and howled like a wolf. She was just, she just. And she, they were declawed, and she'd take those big paws and she'd put them up on your face, and she would knead and purr. And if she wanted in your room, she'd scream, and she'd have the door going bum 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 bum. And my friends still laugh at them. They were just two totally different personalities, but Jammer was one of a kind. My wife said that she doesn't want a cat ever, and she's allergic to them. And she said she could have Jammer, she would take Jammer. Like everyone loved Jammer. She was one of a kind, man. You just once in a while you run into those cats that are just, she was something else. But I don't know what happened. All those pets were under the charge of my father, and I never really, I guess he did it to spare our feelings, but dad would, oh, pets would just be gone. He never listened to anybody to them. It would just be like, oh, I had to put the cat down, the dog's gone. Like, could you just hold me, man? Like just once. Pets have obviously And I've even missed a couple, but I'm going to stop it there. But pets have obviously been a huge part of my life, my whole life. We've had a lot of animals. They've meant a lot to me. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of takeaways. I think that the interesting thing about cats is that they're all unique. Like you can't just say that cats are cats. They're all different. They all and different breeds are different. Like Siamese, I know, are really different. And then there's just so many variables. And like you said, with huskies, like they're just not very friendly. And so again, knowing the breed, understanding the breed, knowing what you're going to get, and you don't really ever know how an animal is going to turn out. You can have an idea, but and the other thing is that yeah, like the reality of a pet dying, of course, is incredibly difficult. But even as a young person, there's some good lessons to learn in it that. Things are life isn't infinite. It's finite, and that animals come and go, and that to enjoy them, to appreciate them, to have that companionship, to understand love and relationships and responsibility. All these things are just wonderful things that animals can provide. And I skipped one, and I have to tell this story, and I'll tell it quickly. But I had at the time my girlfriend and I had a cat, and the cat, I don't even know, it was a big cat. I don't even think we knew that it was pregnant. We had just gotten it. And she was out working one night, and I went in to check on the cat, and all of a sudden there was a kitten there. And I was like, oh my God, like it's having kittens, right?
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. So one kitten, then another kitten, then another kitten, four kittens, and then there was no activity, and they were all kind of doing their thing. They start feeding, and everything's looking good, right? And I come back in like maybe 20 minutes later, and another kitten was coming out, but it was breached. It was backwards. And it was stuck.
Wow.
And so like this kitten is hanging out of her, and it's half in, half out, and it's limp. And I'm like, oh my God, like I what okay, well, I guess naturally I'm like, all right, well, I have to try to pull it out, right? But it's so tiny and fragile. I'm like, oh my, it's like I'm pulling and I'm pulling. Finally it comes out. And it's limp. And so I'm waiting. It's like it's not doing anything. So what do I do? I mean, it's natural instinct. I start pressing on its lungs with my fingers.
You're giving
And
it the
yeah, but really gently, because I'm like, if I squeeze this thing, I'm gonna break its lungs. I'm gonna break its ribs. So I just start pushing, and then like all of a sudden its mouth opens, and I'm like, okay, push. Mouth opens and push, and all of a sudden it starts to breathe. And I was like, oh my God, this is insane. Okay. Fast forward, we get rid of a few of the kittens. We keep him, Felix. I name him Felix. Okay. Black and white, nice cat. I mean, I was young. I lived in one apartment, then I moved in another apartment. Then I was, and I couldn't, it just wasn't working. I couldn't take care of the cat. My parents had a bigger property. Their cat had died. So I'm like, can you take care of Felix? So they're like, yeah, we can take care of Felix. So Felix goes to live with my parents. Felix spends a number of years with my parents. Eventually, they get a dog. Felix and the dog don't get along. My parents are like, you need to take Felix back. Well, now I own the feed mill, so it was fine. I took Felix to the feed mill. Felix lived at the feed mill, was happy. Lots of customers came in, pet him. He was a nice guy. He was a big guy. He became big and bigger and bigger. And anyway, he started, he was 14 or 15. He started to kind of decline. He would sleep a lot, and he kind of got rest, had some respiratory issues. Anyway, one morning, where one of my employees said, Felix is up in the bathroom. He doesn't really look good. Like he's not really moving. His breathing is really slow. And I went up and I laid on the floor with him. We had a nice rug in there, and he's laying on the rug. And I stroked him, and he kind of looked at me, and he took a breath, and he closed his eyes, and he took his last breath, and he died
Wow.
right in front of me, man. And I was like, that is a full circle moment right there.
I would say
All
you
right.
gave him life, pumped air into him, and then you were there and we took his last breath.
The hair on my arm stand up just telling the story. And it's not
Absolutely.
like I didn't I of course I was kind of going through the stories pretty quickly, but I'm like, I have to tell you this story. And like That was just an incredible experience. Like, these are the kind of experiences that you can have with a pet that are just like, they're just, yeah, you never forget them.
You never forget them. That is unbelievable.
That's it.
Oh
Yeah.
my gosh. Yeah, it's yeah, they are. Like pets are, and it's like our Dallas, she was a good girl and she would go to her pen. She like crate trained. Like so if you needed her to go, you say pen, pen, pen. She'd run her pen and she liked it in there. She felt safe. She wasn't mad. And then we used to put her pen in the closet. And one time I said, well, forget the pen. We took the pen out and the closet became her pen. Like it was a big closet. We'd say, go to pen. We close the door if we had to. And so then when we got Ava, we said, well, we're going to train her to be a crate dog. Well, I'm going to tell you this. They say you can make any dog do what you want. Ava was not going to be a crate dog. No way, no how. The kids were going to keep her and take care of her, blah, blah, blah. It's another story. They were going to do all this stuff. The first night, halfway through the night, the kids come up, can you take her? Oh, she won't stop crying. I said, fine. I brought her upstairs and I said, I'll put her in her crate and we'll let her cry for a while. No way. She cried and cried. I look over. She's on the side of this. She's chewing on the cage. She's flop. I said, okay, I give up and I let her out. She crawled up into the bed, went to sleep, and that's where she stayed for the rest of her life. Like she had a attachment issue. She didn't like being alone. She wanted to be with you or somebody all the time. Like she just, and she didn't want me near Shonda. If I hugged Shonda, she would get in between us and break us apart. Like she just had her rules. And but God love them. I think they're great to teach kids responsibility. I think they're great companionships. I think they're great for, I think they can complete a family circle. I think they're a big part of, or if you haven't got a family, they're great for companionship. They're great. They're great, great, great.
Absolutely. And again, knowing the breed, knowing the type, but look at what dogs do as far as like sniffing bombs, like drug dogs, like PTSD dogs, like
Emotional
dog
support.
blind, like blind, like a dog for the blind, like a dog's leading around. I mean, they're just like, they're incredibly intelligent, nurturing, wonderful creatures that not only can provide companionship and pleasure, but also jobs, work. Like
They
they're such a,
find lost people. You give them someone's lost in the
absolutely.
woods.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
They
Yeah.
can and they help. I'm not a hunter, but they help people hunting and get ducks and retrieve stuff. And I mean, they can do so much. I don't know what the firemen. I should have looked it up. I don't know if Dalmatians do anything for firemen except just like a mascot. I think they're just. I
I
think.
don't know what that's all about either.
I don't know if they have an actual working job as part of the team, or if they're just a mascot. I don't know. Can you find anything on that?
Yeah. Every firehouse has a fountain. Came common for. Since every firehouse back then had a set of fast horses to pull the pumper wagon, it became common for each group of firemen to keep a Dalmatian. Again, the spotted dogs not only guarded the firehouse horses, they kept them company during their long, boring waits between fires.
Look at that. So it did have a they did have a reason to be there. Reminds me too, if you think of the old Budweiser commercials when they were pulling the cart, they always had a Dalmatian in those commercials. It's kind of the thing. They were pulling an old fire cart. I just learned something I didn't know because I thought they were just like mascots, but they had a role at the fire department.
And then it goes on to say Dalmatians are associated with firefighters because they were originally used as sirens. Dating back to the 1800s, they could keep up with the horse-drawn carriages and warn people they are coming, as well as scare off anything that would spook the horse.
Wow, they were the
Yeah.
original siren. That
Yeah.
is insanity.
Isn't
Wow.
it? Yeah.
Well, just before we get going, and because I like to cover different areas,
Yeah.
I haven't wrote these down, but I thought we might be able to come off the top of our head, like famous pets, like pets on movies and TVs that were like when I grew up, my dad used to go to the furniture show in Montreal every June. And when he came back, I'll never forget because it was always on Father's Day, but he would always bring back a Tintin book. And
Right. Yeah.
Tintin had his pet Snowy. Snowy was the dog that hung around with him.
Yeah.
And Tintin wasn't popular down here. A lot of my friends didn't know what Tintin was, except for me. They come read my Tintin books, and Snowy was a part of it. And I still have a Tintin little statue with Snowy right here beside me. I love Snowy. He would bark. He'd say "woo-ah, woo-ah." I don't know why. Now, Tintin books haven't aged well. I bought a new version of them the other day because some of mine went to my little sisters, and the new versions of them say right at the front that these were written back in the 20s or something, and maybe don't reflect certain things about minorities and things very well. But
Oh yeah, of course.
I just loved Tintin and Snowy growing up. He was a big part of my life.
Yeah, I mean, of course, everybody remembers, I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. People of our generation, Lassie, of course, was
Lassie,
just
the most
famous.
famous. What's wrong, Lassie? Trouble? Trouble in the old mill? Jimmy's fallen down the well, Lassie. What's going
Oh my God. Well, and you and I have been on about the littlest hobo.
on? I was going to say,
Oh my God.
we could
Every
see.
stop I make, I'm making a new friend.
Oh my God. We were listening to that when you were down here. We were listening to the theme, but Littlest Hobo. I mean, I think as a kid, as a Canadian kid, I only had two channels. We didn't have cable. And we watched what was on, and Littlest Hobo was my favorite show every week. I loved it. And every week, for people that didn't know, he was a German Shepherd. He would he was a bum, big a bum, a hobo. A bum's not a nice word, but a hobo dog, which probably still is a nice word, but he would travel on his own, and he would come to a town, and there'd be trouble. Someone would be a murderer, would have a family kidnapped, or someone would be abusing the mother, or a kid that wasn't doing, and this dog would come in, fix everything, and then leave. He fix everyone's life and then leave and go save someone else's life.
That's quite a thing. I grew up with Christopher. I grew up with Winnie the Pooh too. So I know that's not like a pet necessarily, but I like, I was like, I had like a Christopher Robin thing without being Christopher, and Winnie the Pooh was like,
There.
just Pooh Bear is just a wonderful, and the whole just Eeyore, the whole thing, Tigger, and just like this cast of characters,
I
I
have
always love
Eeyore
that.
doll. I have Eeyore mugs because everyone always says I'm depressed, so I'm always, well, thanks for noticing
Eeyore.
me. And you being British, I mean, Paddington. I mean,
Paddington for sure.
my son and his wife are just enthralled with Paddington and Paddington Square and they
Oh
want.
yeah.
I mean,
And
Paddington.
I had a bear. I had a pet, like a little stuffed animal bear that I carried with me for the first 3 years of my life. Like,
Me too.
it sounds very obsessively. And of course, his arm would fall off and it'd have to be sewed back on. I left it on a train once, and my mom frantically had to call the train, and eventually they found it and it got returned to me. And
Well,
so I guess bears were always kind of a thing for me,
I
for
had a
sure.
teddy bear, the same thing. And the funny part about mine, I still have it. Its name was Rupert.
Oh,
And
what?
that's
Rupert.
Stewie Griffin has a pet bear and Family Guy named Rupert.
Well, Rupert is a famous
Right.
book as well, right? I've got Rupert books, very British, I think, as well.
Yeah. I loved Rupert. He went
I
everywhere.
used to read Rupert books all the time when I was a kid.
And you know, another dog book that I loved as a kid, and then my oldest son for sure loved, was Clifford the Big Red Dog. I
Course, of
loved
course, yeah.
Clifford. I mean, Clifford was the
Anyway.
size of a house, you know. And the whole story was about having a big red dog, Clifford, you know. And my every Christmas, I still have the collection. I got a new Garfield book. Like,
Garfield, the giant orange cat, and
exactly.
I do currently have an orange cat, the big orange guy, Spanky, his name is. He's a wonderful cat. He's getting old, he's deaf, and he has an incredibly loud meow. Like, he does not know his own voice, so he
Right.
just like he yowls in the morning like 5:30 without fail. He causes us some grief, there's no doubt about it.
Does he love lasagna and hate Mondays?
He probably would eat lasagna. He's just like constantly hungry. But orange cats, I don't know. They're either a, it would seem strange that they're 100% male, but they're 99% of them are male.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, and they're big. Like, orange cats are big cats. So
Yes.
Garfield like totally fit the mold.
And Heathcliff
And
was another big orange cat.
Absolutely.
And my,
Absolutely.
it's funny, my friend had a big orange and white cat, and it was huge, and it was mean. If you're
Yeah.
fluffy, if your arm hung down over the chair, you might not come back with it. Like, this cat was mean.
Yeah.
And my grand, you said Brandy. My grandmother had a poodle named Brandy.
Yeah.
We still say it to this day. That dog's been gone for 3 years because she would always leave, she would come over, but she never wanted to stay. Like she'd always say, "Well, I gotta go home and feed Brandy." So we still, every time we leave a house today, we go, "Oh, we gotta go feed Brandy," you know. But that dog, you couldn't touch it. If it you touched it, it would bite you. Like, and
Right.
if say if you're sitting in the chair, don't let your arms hang down, it'll bite you. But it was okay. It was just nowadays you wouldn't keep a dog that would bite everybody, but that was just it loved my grandmother and it loved my dad, but nobody else. It would bite us, so we just couldn't touch it. And
Yeah.
I had a scare as a kid. We had neighbors in Truro when I was like 5 years old, and he had giant German shepherds. His name was Parky. The neighbor name was Parky. We loved him.
Yeah.
I would go eat their cookies, and he was very nice to us. And my dad would have a charcoal barbecue, and he would barbecue. And as soon as dad was done, Parky run over and go, "Can I throw a couple steaks on the barbecue there now the charcoals are hot?" And
Yeah.
her dad was growing marijuana out there, and Parky come over and go, "What are you growing there? Are those tomato plants? Those are funny looking plants." He was just, it was just a funny guy. But anyway, I digress. I went over there one day, got too close to the doghouse, and the German Shepherd came over and knocked me down and held me down, growling at me, and I couldn't get up. And I was there for a long time before Parky came out, and I thought the dog was going to kill me. It scared me to death. Scared me to death. Speaking of scared to death, I hate horror movies. Hate them.
Yeah.
Horror movie
You
guy. Don't like
know with Cujo here?
Cujo, another
Cujo.
bad movie with the dogs. But I was thinking, me and Shonda went to see Pet Sematary when we were dating.
Oh my God,
It scared the living fuck out of me. Excuse my language. Scared me to death. And then we came home that night out in the country. The dogs were over in this pen. And we brought the dogs in, which and we had a cemetery across the yard. It was dark out. We brought the dogs in, and the gate was out there going. We're like upstairs going, like we were scared to death, man. That was my last time I ever went to a scary movie. Like I'm done, done.
I looked up the list of famous dogs. Of course, we're missing Benji. I don't know. You must remember Benji.
Absolutely,
And
and. Before you say it, the most famous, the one that's big part of my life, and he's my phone holder.
Snoopy, of course. Yeah, of course.
My
Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo, of course, another one.
wow, right,
And
Reggie.
Toto is on the list, of course, too. Famously,
Oh,
Toto from The
of
Wizard of Oz.
course, Wizard of Oz and Toto, Marmaduke, the big, what was he? Great Dane, big Great Dane.
Beethoven's on the list. I don't know. Lady in
Oh
the
yeah,
Tramp.
my kids love Beethoven. We watched.
Old Yeller, of
Oh,
course, yeah.
remember John Candy in that movie? Who cried when Old Yeller died? I did. Come on, everyone. Everyone cried. I mean, that was one of the saddest moments in movie history ever.
I think so, for sure.
Kids, his own rabid dog. I mean, oh, it didn't make the kid. The kid said, "No, it's my dog. I'll do it." I mean, when he shot that dog. Oh my goodness. I mean, and that's just, and we're just doing this off the top of our head, man. I mean, Snoopy was, I still read Snoopy comics. My kids love, I bought my son Dakota this Snoopy that's as big as Shonda, and he's still got it in his bed that I saw one day that I just fell in love with. But you know, you make these connections to these things, and it stays with you, you know?
Yeah, some of them were like you would watch like the Snoopy
The
or
Great
the Charlie
Pumpkin.
Brown like Christmas and the Charlie Brown Halloween. Like it was like part of
Thanksgiving.
your like yearly events, right? You
Still
know?
is. It's still on the Apple right now. They're showing the Great Pumpkin, you know, and they
They
build and believe in the Great Pumpkin and the Thanksgiving one when Lucy would always pull away the football from Charlie Brown.
Yeah, of course,
The and Snoopy and the Red Baron. Snoopy go to war fighting the Red Baron. Flying dog and you have the scar and Woodstock. Oh my goodness. I mean and I bet you if we sat here and I know we're running out of time, but we could name a 100 more famous animals from movies. Oh, there was an old one when I was a kid was Rin Tin Tin. Very famous old dog. And I always remember too, it wasn't a pet, but I always remember one of my favorite shows growing up was Hogan's Heroes. And
Yeah.
they would show them escaping from their tunnel and they'd be underneath the German Shepherd doghouse. They would lift
Yeah.
the doghouse, and the German Shepherd was under it. And
Yeah.
I think mo a lot of families had dogs on TV,
Yeah.
it was a big
Yeah.
lot of it. So, there was. I mean, there's a re think about the fact that dogs are called man's best friend.
Yeah.
It
Yeah.
rings pretty true. And you were saying there's something a little different than dogs and cats. And I don't want anyone saying, "Oh, Sean, cats, of course, are just as special, more special to a lot of people."
Yeah.
And a lot of people will ask you to this day if they're talking, "Were you a cat person or a dog person?" But
Yeah.
I think dogs. And maybe it's with males, men, I don't know, but they call it man's best friend for a reason, I think, because they are our best friends. They don't judge us, they love us. If it's a hard day, they're just happy to see you no matter what. Ava knew within 15 minutes when Shonda was coming home before she got home. She starts looking for her. There's dogs that wait by the buses waiting for kids to get home from school. I mean, it's just they're.
Yeah. I don't know, like, again, this would really just be my opinion, of course, but there's a difference between dogs and cats in the sense that cats are very independent, whereas dogs are very reliant. So
Yes.
they really it's like they really need their owner, right? And I think in a lot of in a lot of cases, there's often a dynamic where a dog could look at a man and see that there's a dominance there, and that whether men or women do the training. And I think just the way it's cycled through history is that dogs, of course, originally or often originally they were used for hunting. So that they would have been companion for men who were going out at that time, because that was a predominantly male role, was to go out, and the dog would go with him as the companion. And so I mean, presumably that's sort of where it kind of where it started and where it came from, right?
And they would herd cattle with cowboys. They'd be out herding the
Yeah.
and they would herd sheep. I mean, my cousin has a cousin who to this
Yeah.
is a sheep farmer, and he has Great Pyrenees dogs, but there's two or three of them that don't come in the house. They live at the herd 24 hours a day. Protect them from wolves,
Yeah.
And that's another thing. Dogs, they protect animals from wolves. They protect livestock and herds. I mean, and the I mean, I know they used to do the fox hunts in England. They probably still do. I never really liked the fact that they would let them have the fox, but I guess that's the way it would go.
Yeah. Or the fox would get away, but who knows? Yeah.
We didn't touch on it today, and I'm not going to, but there's a lot of misuse of dogs. Like you said, dog fighting and I know
Yeah.
a lot of greyhounds get saved from race. There's race dogs, and then they're just discarded. And there's a lot of misuse of animals too, unfortunately. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm obviously grateful for organizations like PETA that began to, like, I don't know when that started, but began to realize that there was a lot of mistreatment. And yeah, like anything, there's always going to be some abuse, but there is certainly more information, there's more training, there's more understanding, and I hopefully there's more ethical treatment of animals. And
Think like even like when I was t we used to go to SeaWorld down in Florida. It was my favorite spot. I loved going to see Shamu and everything. But those rule our thoughts have changed on that. And Shamu is still down there, but they're not bringing in any more whales. That they can't release those whales because they wouldn't survive on their own. But when those whales are gone, they're not bringing more whales in because whales shouldn't be kept in captivity. Like it's just.
Yeah, and I struggle with captivity in general. I mean, even zoos and different places, I
I mean,
don't
I
know.
think.
Rehabilitation, I understand, and perhaps even extending species that are borderline extinct, that makes a lot of sense to me, but
And there's some
just
good zoos, like there's Animal Kingdom, like where these animals have huge areas to roam and they live pretty good lives. And it's
yeah.
then you go up to like the Moncton Zoo and there's a wolf there that just paces back and forth 24 hours a day.
I hate that. I hate that.
Doesn't
Yeah.
want to be.
And even like in Ontario, they have a wild animal. There's giraffes. I'm thinking, like, There's no reason why a giraffe should be in Ontario. Like, that just doesn't fit up for me, but.
But I mean, circuses used to, there's a lot of circuses now. Cirque du Soleil was invented, so there wasn't animals anymore because, people used to love go to see the circus, but a lot of those animals were abused,
Absolutely.
But
Absolutely.
luckily, we've learned better. I mean, I remember, thank goodness, succotash used to be treated badly. Succotash was always suffering, but P just.
Wow, you just have to get that
Well, I was thinking
one
about Sylvester when you brought up PETA. Well, that
in,
was the last thing. Remember all those? Like we never even mentioned Sylvester and Tweety and Bugs Bunny and all those animals. I mean, we love
eh?
those animals, but they,
Yeah.
I mean, Sylvester, Bugs Bunny was always being hunted, and then we'd dress up like a girl,
Yeah.
and Daffy would get his big beak spun around the other way, and duck season, rabbit season.
Fully digressing. I watched Wayne's World not that long ago, and there's a scene in there where Dana Carvey's like, "Did you ever think that Bugs Bunny was attractive when he dressed up as a woman?" Oh my God.
And I had read Garth when I felt a little funny,
Yeah, exactly.
but yeah, I used to. I mean, Sylvester was, I thought I taught Putty Tat, and
Ooh.
then Sylvester would catch Tweety, and then Granny would beat the crap out of Sylvester.
Lots of entertainment value there.
Yeah. And then I remember in DC there was the Super Pets and there was Crypto the Super Dog and he could
Right.
fly and oh yeah, it was craziness.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's our time.
Yeah, that's well, this was definitely a lighter podcast for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes along with what we do because, we touched on a little bit that, how emotionally supportive animals are and how important they are to our mentality and
Absolutely.
but
Yeah.
I think we need to talk about something a little lighter. And I want to, I want to give this as a tribute to Ava. I mean, she was
Yeah.
special and she spent a little, just a little bit of time with you, but she loved hanging around with you. You kind of became her.
Yeah, we yeah, she developed some new habits. We got into some garage habits when we were, sitting outside shooting the shit,
Absolutely.
and yeah,
Absolutely. So
I'm
I think
grateful for that.
as far as a recommendation, I hadn't thought of one, but I think I'm going to try to think of something to recommend as far as animals movies go. And I want one that my kids loved when they were kids, something that recommended for them. It was I don't know if I remember that it was these three. Oh, Homeward Bound. Homeward Bound.
Oh my God, of course. Yeah. Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey. Oh
Yeah.
my God, I love that movie.
Me too.
Is it a
I
book
think
or a movie?
it was real life looking dogs, and it was Michael J. Fox did one of the voices, and they had to
Yeah,
go home, and
Homeward Bound.
it was a,
Milo and Otis was another one I remember. I got a
oh
book.
yeah yeah
You
yeah
remember that one?
yeah absolutely absolutely.
Do you have a picture of Ava close by?
I do.
I think you should show it.
I agree.
I've got a book. I haven't read it, in all fairness. I haven't read the whole thing anyway. I'm on page 73.
Okay.
But this book, I think, it would be an amazing book for anyone to read if they're thinking about getting a pet. It's called Animals Make Us Human. Here, I'll show it on screen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's by Temple Grandin. She was just a game changer in the entire animal production field during the 60s, in mostly in beef and cattle production, like for meat processing. She revolutionized the entire industry. She
Wow.
changed the way they killed animals. She made it very humane. And they realized that even like all the stress and everything that was going along with the processing and killing of ant cattle was causing detriment not only to the animals but to the meat and everything else. And she completely changed the game. And she's on the spectrum. She's autistic. And yeah, if you look her up, Temple Grandin is her name. There was this amazing movie about her. Kate Blanchett, I think, plays the role.
I'm gonna look at that book. That looks awesome.
The movie too, just really amazing. And this Animals Make Us Human. She touches on every different. She touches on cows, horses, cats, dogs, yeah, everything. Zoos, wildlife, poultry, chickens, like you name it, it's all in here. So really great book for any animal lover.
Awesome
Animals.
recommendation. Yeah, I imagine how boring our lives would be without our dogs, without our animals. There's just on my phone, but there's my girl.
Way to
There,
go. Thank
she's
you for
such
sharing that.
a beauty.
To Ava.
A beauty. And
Man.
I even they did this for me the other when we were leaving after she passed, but they made an imprint of her paw for me, so
Awesome.
I get to
That's
keep
wonderful.
that. And but we got her ashes last night, and I ordered an urn for her, and I got a little dog tag. It's amazing. I got it on Amazon. It's coming, I think, today. It's a dog tag, like army dog tag style, and it's got a picture of that picture actually I just showed you of Ava on the front. And inside there's a place to put her ashes. So I'm going to carry her around with me. So I loved her. I loved her. But anyway,
Wow, that's so tribute.
well, thanks, man. I really enjoyed, I needed that today to talk about our pets. I think it was good. And
That's good, man. I
enjoyed
hope
meeting.
I'm sure you'll be okay. Any heartache is hard, is difficult. There's no doubt about it, but it is real, and we have to face it in our lives, and it's great to reflect on her life and the joy that she brought you. And that is the thing about animals. They bring a ton of joy and compassion and pleasure and all these things. And
They do.
although there is loss in it, it's part of life. And so it's a great gift that they
Like I
bring.
say, it's bringing heartbreak, but it's worth it. It's worth it.
It is for sure, man.
All right, I love you, brother.
I love you too, man, so much. Thanks for the podcast. I hope you have a great day, the rest of
You
your day.
too. I'll talk to you
All right.
soon.
You too.
Bye.
Always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade.
I just showed that picture of my grand doggy Echo. I didn't start talking about my two grand doggies. I got Echo and Maple, but I could do a whole show on there. They're pretty special girls, so
Thankfully, you still have them in your life.
I do. Take care, brother.
Love you, brother.